Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, let me take just a moment to encourage you to go on the internet and visit the website of Weirs Valley Ranch. It's a very easy address, just wvr.org. For over 20 years, the ranch has provided a loving home environment for children who have a problem that they did not create. It may be a health crisis on the part of a parent or even the death of a parent. Often it's the death of a marriage, leaving a single parent who's struggling to care for the children while working one or more jobs in order to provide for their support. Sometimes it's a parent who struggles with alcohol or drug addiction, or even a case where one or both parents are in prison. But these children are not the problem. They're not delinquents. They're simply caught in a difficult circumstance. I hope you'll help us provide these little ones with the opportunity for hope and healing in a Christ-centered environment. Please visit wvr.org in order to learn more and in order to help. That's wvr.org. Folks, every year on Memorial Day, we celebrate the lives of those who were willing to pay the ultimate price for our freedom, liberty here in this country, and also to save lives and liberty around the world. I've known many wonderful soldiers in my time, but when we come to do a Memorial Day broadcast, there's one particular friend who's now in heaven, whose life was a special witness. And so year after year, I want to tell his story. I hope you'll enjoy my conversation with Andy Andrews, an honored veteran and my Boy Scout leader when I was a kid. His life had a profound impact on mine and on many others as well. Listen, and may God bless you. My guest today is Andy Andrews. He is a dear friend, a wonderful brother in Christ. He is an elder in the Presbyterian Church, but he is a child of God, which is even better than being an elder in the Presbyterian Church. I am grateful to say that I have known him most of my life. I met him when I was 12 years old. He and his family lived in Montreat. When my family moved there, they had moved there, I think, the year before I had. And so I grew up with his son, Al, who was a true friend to me all through my junior high and high school years. And then even though we went in different directions for college, Al has remained a wonderful brother in the Lord in the years since. And Andy was my scoutmaster.
With a Jeep.
With a Jeep. He had a wonderful Jeep with an auga horn that he used to love to use around town. And we went camping, and it was a wonderful place and a wonderful time to grow up. But I wanted him to come on the program today because it is, of course, Memorial Day. And Andy not only has some wonderful insight about what Memorial Day really means, but he also has tremendous credibility, and I'm going to embarrass him a little bit by asking him to please list at least some of the awards that he received for his meritorious service during World War II. Andy, I know that you got a Purple Heart, but you got more than a Purple Heart.
Yes, Jim, I have four Purple Hearts.
That's extraordinary, especially for a man who lived.
Yes, it is.
You survived and got four Purple Hearts.
I did survive. I have also have a good conduct ribbon, and that's pretty important.
I think you deserve it.
I was a good soldier, and so they gave me a good conduct ribbon.
Well, that's good.
I also have four Bronze Stars.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I mean,
That is a testimony to God's grace preserving you.
It is indeed. God was with me every step of the way. And Jim, my total all the time, my prayer was, Lord, if you want me before it's time, I'm ready to come.
Yep. Well, I'm grateful that God preserved you, because if we had lost you in that war, I would have missed the privilege of knowing you as my friend and my brother, and of course, your kids wouldn't be here.
Well, thank you, Jim. That's a mighty nice compliment, and I appreciate that. God has used me in marvelous ways to give testimony to his goodness and to tell about the war story, you know.
Andy, you were among those who made that heroic invasion into Europe, and you've been back there to Normandy.
I have been back four times, once with the division, the 1st Infantry, 1st Infantry Division, the Big Red One, mm-hmm. with which I served. They had a tour, had several, and I was privileged to go on one with 28 veterans. And believe it or not, Jim, of the 28, there were only four who were actually on the front line, in the front line on the invasion day. The other guys were, you know, medics and support troops, very, very important. That's when I learned that for every soldier on the front line, there are at least 12 in the rear doing work to keep the guy up there on the front.
That's great. And you were among those who were on the front line.
I was. As a matter of fact, I was in the third wave. There were three major waves going into Hitler's Atlantic Wall, the beaches of Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the third wave, and as a matter of fact, we were supposed to land at supper time, the first wave being at daybreak, the next one at noon, and the third at supper. But on the deck of the troop ship, 12 miles from the beach, right next to the SS battleship Texas, firing away those big 14-inch shells, the beach master radioed our ship and said, "Don't send the guys. Do not send the guys now. There are too many dead people on the beach, too much destruction, absolutely no place to land."
Mm.
So we had to wait till 4:30 in the morning.
Mm.
But still, it was a landing.
Yeah, and at 4:30 in the morning, it had to be dark.
Well, it was just barely breaking dawn, and we could see the smoke over the beach. We could see the high ground in France,
mm-hmm.
and we actually just had to load our Higgins boats kind of in the pre-dawn.
Yes,
and then as it got light. And about 400 Higgins boats making a big circle.
Yeah.
And they all took off toward the beach at the right signal.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you got word that it was going to be delayed, did they tell you why it was being delayed because of all the death and destruction?
Well, yes, there was a big megaphone, a big microphone system on the deck of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And we could hear the beachmaster.
Mm.
Giving this instruction, do not send the boys yet. There's too much death and destruction. Wait till we give you the signal. We heard that.
That had to be bone-chilling.
That was more than that. I tell you, it gave us a real chill and gave us a lot to think about and pray about. It was a devastating thing to stand there on that beach and look over toward where these big shells were exploding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, God preserved you. You were part of that third wave.
Yeah.
After you landed, you had some other harrowing experiences, didn't you?
Well, yes, but not immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We landed, and of course, going down the, this is not too pleasant, Jim, but going down the rope ladders from the deck of the troop ship
mm-hmm.
into the Higgins boats. The Higgins boats were a small craft that held about 36 soldiers fully armed.
Right.
And everybody was seasick and throwing up. So when we hit the, when I dropped off of the rope ladder into the Higgins boat, I slid up in vomit all the way to the side of the boat.
Mm.
And then we just tried to hold on to each other and stand up real close to each other.
Yeah.
And the guy right next to me, behind me, threw up all over my neck. And so it was a great time. Jim, when we got to the beach and the ramp went down, I was kind of glad to get in the water.
Bless you. Bless you. Well, I would imagine there were some guys who were deciding what they believed about God and eternity between the time that announcement was made over the loudspeaker on board the ship and the time they got to the beach. I would imagine there was some real praying going on.
Let me tell you, there was praying going on before that. Actually, coming across from England, the 100-mile stretch to the beach.
Yes.
Our outfit was in the bowels, what they call the bowels of the troop ship, all the way on the bottom, sitting in the floor, shoulder to shoulder, nobody saying a word, nobody doing anything, no singing, no playing cards, just sit, and it was almost dark.
Yeah.
And we just sat there, and that was the time when I did hear some prayers being offered.
Yes.
The guy, two soldiers for me, he just kept over and over repeating the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
I sort of felt like, bless his heart, that may be the only prayer he knows.
Yeah.
But he sure did pray it. There was a lot of praying going on because we were heading into unknown territory.
Right.
And
really?
That's when I learned also that God won't take you into uncharted territory without giving you the grace to sustain you there.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. I don't know what the level of awareness was at the time as to the extent to which the future of Western civilization was hanging on the outcome of that invasion.
Yeah.
But it really was.
We didn't know that extent either, Jim, but our General Eisenhower, when we were going across, he had a message for all the troops. I wish I could remember it. It was a great message, and that very statement was in it.
Mm-hmm.
The liberty-loving people of the world, their eyes are on you.
Yes.
And watching what we do. And so we got the strong feeling that if this thing is not successful, Nazism is going to take over the world.
Yep, and it would have.
It would have. And so our commitment was, we're going to do this thing, and the Lord's going to provide according to His will.
Yep.
So that's the spirit that we had, all these people heading for the beach. And, Jim, most of them were 18 and 19.
Mm.
I was 20 years old, and my squad called me Pop. Yeah, I was Pop.
My goodness.
Most of them... I was the machine gunner carrying the tripod most of the time.
Goodness.
And on up into France and on over across over into Belgium and Luxembourg, my squad was annihilated time after time.
Mm.
And that's when I really realized that what they told us in basic training was true, that in actual combat, in an actual firefight.
Yes.
A machine gunner's life expectancy is 7 minutes.
Mm.
So I watched our squad get killed over and over and over, and we always had new replacements coming in so much that it was very difficult to learn the names of the guys before they got killed.
Goodness.
And God was so good to me. I was in battle after battle that I should have been killed. I mean, all reason. But God spared me, and I give Him the praise.
Well, we praise the Lord with you.
Thank you, brother.
Now, you were, on one occasion, given an extraordinary opportunity by the Lord to capture a Nazi soldier.
Actually, that was one of the worst battles that I was ever in on what they called Hill 232.
Mm-hmm.
We had 36 men on that hill and 4 machine guns, and a large group of Germans attacked. And it was dark when they first hit, just barely getting light.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we opened up with our 4 machine guns and lots of our guns. All 7 of my 8 machine gun squad leader men were killed and they just pulled them up out of their foxholes and laid them like cordwood right next to my machine gun.
Wow.
My best buddy, Jesse Beavers, was right shoulder to shoulder. He was protecting the left flank of my gun.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse said, Andy, I'm going to be sure nobody gets you. Now, he just raised up about 8 inches
mm-hmm.
to see if he could see the enemy. And just like the clap of a big hand clap, a bullet took him right through the eye, right through that forehead.
Mm.
Killed him immediately. And
yeah.
My good buddy Jesse fell back right across my lap almost.
Mm.
And then, after that battle was beginning to subside and there was not any firing, I looked under my machine gun just out over the side of it, and I saw a German stand up and throw a grenade at my machine gun nest, and I pulled the trigger, and I could see my bullets going through his body.
Mm.
I thought surely he was dead,
mm-hmm.
And the grenade went off, and I received a chunk of shrapnel in my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But in about 15 minutes, I saw this stick come up in front of my gun, about 6 feet away, and, mm-hmm. and a handkerchief tied to the top,
mm-hmm.
white handkerchief.
Yes.
And it was waving and back and forth, and I heard this in plain English, "May I surrender? Please, may I surrender?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Yes, you may." And I thought it was a trick, so I had my pistol at him. But
yeah.
right over the little embankment, this young fella pulled up, tried to get over, and I recognized him as the guy that threw the grenade.
Wow.
And he couldn't get over that little knoll, so I reached down and picked him up. I was a strong guy at that time, Jim, and I picked this fella up, and he was really shot up. It
mm-hmm.
was just dreadful.
Mm.
But anyway, we hobbled to the aid station together. I held him for about 100 yards,
yeah.
helped him walk. And during that time, he looked over at my pistol. It was on the right side of my hip.
Yeah.
Three or four times, and he said, you kill me? I said, no, I don't kill you. I'm a Christian. He said, I Christian too.
Mm.
And he smiled real big, and he was 17 years old.
Oh, my.
And he said, I was drafted. And I said, I drafted too.
Mm-hmm.
So, we went to the aid station, and they dressed his wound as best they could and put us both in an ambulance, side by side.
Yeah.
And we got to the hospital, which was not too far out of Paris,
mm-hmm.
but they started to take his stretcher out first, and I patted him on the shoulder, and I said, you're okay, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked up and smiled, and he said, I okay, I alive.
Mm.
So that taught me something, Jim, if you got a minute
sure.
for me to say this.
Absolutely.
There was a, looking back on that young man was horribly wounded and terribly afraid.
Yes.
He had a choice to make. He could stay where he was and bleed to death,
mm-hmm.
or he could surrender and maybe get hope.
Yes.
Now, all of us on the front line, the one thing we hated the most was to have to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never knew the attitude of the guy to whom you were surrendering.
Right.
But that taught me something. I related that to my Christian faith. And I said to myself, here was this young man who surrendered totally,
mm-hmm.
hoping he would get help.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, it's one thing to accept Christ as your Savior, and it's quite another to totally surrender to him.
Mm.
And so that taught me a lot. That taught me a lesson. I really need to surrender my life to Jesus over and over so that I know and he knows that I am his and he is mine.
Amen. Well, I am so grateful that God has preserved you and that God blessed you. You were married to one of the dearest ladies I've known who
oh,
is
yeah.
now in glory. Helen is with the Lord.
She's dining at the banquet table of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And God's blessed you with two beautiful children, Sarah
yeah,
and Al.
Right.
And God has also blessed you across the years with the opportunity to influence a lot of young people. You've been a good steward of your witness.
So.
And you're yeah. on the board of Montreat College.
That's right.
And just continuing to shine for Jesus.
I'm on the board of the Black Mountain Center over here, where there are about 400 Alzheimer's patients, same as my Helen had. So it's a joy to be able to serve.
Well, I'm so thankful for the way you do. Let me ask you, as you look at the scene today, obviously there are some things on the political front and on the world events front with the radical Islamic efforts to try and destroy Western civilization, the situation in Washington, D.C. being what it is. You know, you have, I think, a credibility that is important as you encourage people not to give up when it looks bleak.
That's right.
Can you say a word for folks who are discouraged and just feel like there's no point in soldiering on? There's no point in continuing to stand for truth or fight for truth. It's just time to give up. What would you say?
Well, I think there's always, always, always time to trust Jesus and to keep your hope up. I think we must keep our hope high. I understand that there's a lot going on in the world and a lot going on that we don't especially agree with in Washington, but this is our country, and if we stay with it and if we pray for the people that are in office, we can prevail. It's going to take some time. It is a test for all of us. But this is still America, and there are still today men dying for America.
Yes.
And we got to honor that and trust the Lord Jesus to be our guide. And what my prayer is, Jim, is that the people in office, our elected leaders, will completely turn their lives over to the Lord and ask for His guidance.
Amen.
That's the crucial thing. I hope they will honor the Scriptures, which turn not to your own understanding.
Yes.
That's very important.
Amen. Well, it seems to me on this day when we honor the memory of those who served and who gave their lives in order for us to have the freedoms that we enjoy, we want to look not only to their example, but even beyond that, to the one who gave his life on the cross for us.
Right.
He died.
But you know, Jim, I do not know a soldier who really wanted to die. I know hundreds of them who were willing to stand in harm's way and die if need be.
Yes.
And those are the ones that we're honoring.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And I also want us to honor you and those who continue to live as a powerful legacy of God's gracious preservation in,
yes,
in miraculous ways, supernaturally, preserving you and giving you other opportunities to serve Him beyond the military.
Well, you know, Jim, that's true. I just look back on my experience in combat 10 months, and I cannot believe that out of a battle where 29,000 men were killed and 40,000 wounded, I came through. Several times like that.
Yes.
So God is good, and He's, I just praise Him for His giving me life, and I want to use it for His glory.
Praise God.
I appreciate your prayers, brother.
Well, you have them, and I sure do love you. You're a dear
brother. I love you, Jim, and I appreciate you including me in your radio program.
Thank you, sir. Well, it's an honor for us to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood is listener-supported. If you would like to help, please get a pen and paper so that I can give you our contact information. You can make a difference in the lives of those who hear this message and the lives of children at Wears Valley Ranch. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. Please visit us online at wvr.org. That's wvr.org. Or send in a donation to Wears Valley Ranch at 100 One Fine Place, Sevierville, Tennessee, 37862. That's Wears Valley Ranch at 100 One Fine Place, Sevierville, Tennessee, 37862.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. You have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE.
or contact us on the web at wvr.org.